The singer Madonna, like most celebrities these days, I gather, has her personal trainer who travels with her wherever she goes around the world. Tracy Anderson is the woman's name, and apparently she has remodeled half of Hollywood. And she says she hopes that Madonna, if she stays with the method, and I quote, she will continue looking as she does now for the next 50 years. Yes, you heard right, 50 years. And among Tracy Anderson's 10 top tips about keeping fit and keeping happy and keeping young is this: train for 1 hour a day, 6 days a week, and you will look good for the next 50 years. 1 hour a day, 6 days a week doesn't sound a huge investment for keeping strong and healthy and youthful for the next 50 years. And I suppose after the turkey and the trimmings, the puddings and the pies, not to mention the brandy cream, the Merlot and the Cointreau, we might be open to a few tips ourselves as to how to get fit again. As we head into this new year of 2009 and try to make some new year resolutions, we might maybe look for some method that would keep us not looking for bodily health and physical fitness, but for tuning of a kind that keeps us in tune with the place where we are now, here before God, keeping fit and healthy in spirit, just as important, more important than keeping fit in mind and body. Somewhere the other day, a newspaper headline caught my eye: a kindness a day, a kindness a day keeps divorce at bay. A kindness a day keeps divorce at bay. And you might end that sentence in many other ways: a kindness a day keeps so many other things at bay. And it struck me perhaps that a kindness a day might do an awful lot good for each one of us during this new year. A special kindness, not just the ordinary kindnesses which we all do all the time, but a kindness which would try to remind us daily of our true goal in life, which is bringing God's love and his kindness into the lives of those we meet. That's what it's always been assumed, isn't it? That is our duty, our calling as Christians and as human beings, to bring love and kindness into the lives of those we meet. And it's an obvious way of living a truly human life, especially a life of Christian love. But if we are to believe the wise people who write in our newspapers, we are living in a society where there is a taboo on kindness. Here are a few sentences from an article in yesterday's paper. Most people these days appear to believe that deep down other people are mad, bad, and dangerous to know. That as a species we are deeply and fundamentally antagonistic to each other. And that our motives are utterly self-seeking. And that our sympathies are forms of self-protectiveness. Kindly behavior is looked upon nowadays with suspicion. Public espousals of kindness are dismissed as moralistic and even sentimental. Kindness is seen either as a cover story or as a failure of nerve. Popular icons of kindness, Princess Diana, Nelson Mandela, Mother Teresa, are either worshipped as saints or gleefully unmasked as self-serving hypocrites. Giving priority to the needs of others may be praiseworthy, we think, but it is certainly not normal. For nearly all of human history, people have perceived themselves as naturally kind. In giving up on kindness, and especially on our own acts of kindness, we deprive ourselves of a pleasure that is fundamental to our sense of well-being. So we set those thoughts against the thoughts of the feast we're celebrating today, the wise men who travelled a long distance in unpleasant conditions and great difficulties to offer their precious gifts to the child in the stable. As we saw in the story we've just listened to, they looked at first in the wrong place, the palace in Jerusalem, the wrong place to look for the infant King of the Jews. But fortunately, their star led them to a most unexpected place. Their star took them to a poor stable, to a small group of people living on the edge. So we ask ourselves, where is our star leading each one of us at this moment in the beginning of 2009? And the answer to that is for each one of us to find for ourselves. But we can be confident that each one of us has our own personal trainer in the ways of the Spirit. We are guided from deep within ourselves by the Spirit of God. And if we listen to our hearts, we are guided in our choices. Our choices to show kindness, especially to keep our eyes open for those who are living on the edge. So one way, I suspect, of keeping alive the meaning of this feast is to renew our attempts to live a life of simple kindness, to bring our gifts of kindness into every situation we enter this week. We do not have the lavish gifts of the wise men, but we have something far more important to offer, ourselves, the most precious gift of all that we have to offer, as we are reminded in these words of Khalil Gibran. You give little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. And there are those who have little and give it all. Through the hands of such as these, God speaks. And from behind their eyes, he smiles upon the earth. May I read it again? You give little when you give of your possessions. It is when you give of yourself that you truly give. And there are those who have little and give it all. Through the hands of such as these, God speaks. And from behind their eyes, he smiles upon the earth.